What a great weekend. We had weddings all week, and we had baby dedications, and now we get to go to the Word of God to hear what God would speak to us today. I have titled my message, Doing My Part. I don't know about you, but sometimes in life, I find myself looking at something, and I begin to say, well, you know, this isn't working this way because of this, or because of that person, or because of that circumstance. I find myself pointing and finding blame or finding fault in something. Anyone ever been there before? Y'all been there before? I find myself looking at the circumstances around us. You watch the news, you look in our communities, you look in the churches and our schools, and we just sometimes feel like there's just something missing. It's not working and going the way that it should be going. But yet we'll blame fault. We'll say, well, you know, the reason this isn't working is because this person didn't do that or this person didn't do this. Did you ever been there before? See, I get that. But what we're really doing is we're asking the wrong question. We should be asking this question. What can I do to make a difference in the surroundings of what I'm seeing going on around me? What can I do on my part? See, because I believe that it's easy to sit back and say that this is broken or this isn't going this way and just leave it at that and then try to have someone else do it. But the reality I want to teach you today of what the Word of God says, He gives us four steps. He gives us four conditions that if we do something, He intervenes and makes a way. And so, though we may not like the whole political landscape of what our country is, but then we should be praying, we should be getting involved. Though we may not like what we see in the educational system or the church system, so then what we should do is volunteer and get it. We have to become people that will do our part. We can't say, well, I know Brother Scott has it. I know he's got it. He's good at that. He'll take. No, God's calling us to do our part in all the things that a lot, maybe not all, but a lot of things that we see going on around us that need us to get involved in. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to stay seated today because you've been up and down so much this morning. I know you want to stand for the Word of God, but I want to read just a couple scriptures. And I want to read to you from the book of 2 Chronicles. And this is Solomon. He had just built the temple for God. He had this amazing prayer. I mean, he laid out a whole chapter of praying before God. God, if this happens, will you do this? God, if that happens, will you do this? He built it. He furnished it. He put it all together. And then it says when he dedicated it, it said that God so saw everything that he did that the glory of God, the actual presence of God, consumed the temple so much that it was so like weighty. And so people knew that the presence was there. They couldn't even enter into certain areas of the temple. And so it says in chapter 7, verse 12, it says, then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I've heard your prayer and I've chosen this temple as a place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls or command grasshoppers to devour our crops or send plagues among you. Verse 14, this is the key because this is doing our part. Ready? So all the things that we may want God to do or all the things we say need to be changed, we can have a part in changing by seeking God and doing what he's asking us to do right here because he'll intervene when we become a people that'll do this. He says, if my people meaning those who believe Jesus as Lord and Savior, those who have a relationship with God Almighty, those who have chosen to serve him and walk in his ways, those who can say, he is my God and I am his son or I am his daughter. If my people, and I pray that all of us sitting in this church today can say, I am God's people. Here it is, ready? One, humble themselves. Two, pray. Three, seek God's face. And four, turn from our wicked ways. Four steps, four things that God declares that if we do as his people, he says this, I will hear from heaven. He'll hear you. See, God hears his people. We did a whole series on the voice of God and does God speak to his people? We spent 4 weeks on it showing how God will communicate with you as believers in your prayer time, in your fasting time, in your reading of the word time, in your just quiet time before him, that God does communicate. So what he says is, I will hear you when you pray. He says, then I will forgive their sins. I will forgive the wrongdoing. Then I will restore their land. It goes on and says, my eyes may be opened. My eyes will be opened. My ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. Now, he's talking about the actual temple that was built. So we could say this building would be a temple of God. But understand, yes, the presence of God is here in this church and in the Catholic church down the street, in the congregational church, and in the Wesley. Yes, God's presence shows up in the temples of worship. But I want to declare something. We need to understand that your body, you as an individual, you as a son or daughter of God, is also a temple of God where God's presence is housed. At salvation, we invite Jesus to come in and to be a part of our lives. We invite the Holy Spirit to baptize us and fill us and consume us. And so not only is the physical church building a place where God's presence is housed and moves, our being is also a place. And so that excites me, knowing that when I leave here today, I don't leave God's presence in the church, but God's presence goes with me. Every part of who he is all about me. And he goes on and says in verse 17, as for you, if you faithfully follow me as David, your father, did, obeying my commands and decrees and regulations, then I will establish the throne of your dynasty. Father, thank you for your word. I pray a blessing upon it this day. Lord, speak truth and reality to us. Help us to apply those simple principles, God, that you declare that if we would humble ourselves, if we would pray, if we would seek your face, if we would turn from our wrongdoings, that you would hear, that you would move, that you would forgive. Lord, teach us and show us this day. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. So today's message, I believe, is one of the most simplistic messages that you can hear. There's no reading in between the lines with it. There's no wondering if it's this way or that way. It's very basic. It's very simple, but yet very powerful and life-changing, community-changing, church-changing, world-changing. See, because I believe the time has come, and we've been speaking about this for a long time, that it's time for us to do our part with God. It's time for us to step up. It's time for us to engage in what God has called us to do. Be the people that God has called us to be. And so Solomon does that, builds the temple, does what's necessary to prepare a place for God's presence to be housed. But he gives them those steps that in the future, all would be well. And so we can sit here today, and how many of us are tired of hearing of another person's marriage being broken up? How many of us are tired of hearing another kid quit school? How many of us are tired of hearing another family member or a friend being addicted to an opiate? Or hearing a person who's addicted dying from an overdose? How many of us are tired of having a child all of a sudden at the age of 12 or 13 or 14 decide that he no longer wants to do life this way, but then chooses to run? How many are tired of that? How many are tired of turning on the TV and hearing all the craziness of what's going on around the world, even in our country? How many are tired of that? Right? How many are tired of churches closing week after week? How many are tired of churches fighting with one another? Well, this is your denomination, and this is our denomination. And, well, it's the same Jesus Christ. And how many are tired of the infighting of the believers, right? How you're all tired of that, right? How many are tired of opening up your checkbook on a Friday and going to pay bills and realizing that, you know what? Man, there's just not, after I pay my bills, I got $5 left for 2 weeks, and I got two kids, and I got this coming up. And how many are tired of saying, God, where's it going to come from? Right, I can go on and on and on. Well, if we're to the point where we're tired with all that, the solution I gave you is in front of us. The solution is there. See, the first step is, if my people will humble themselves. If we want to see God move in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our communities, in our schools, in our government, in this great nation, throughout the world, touching lives all over this globe, it starts with us saying, I'm going to do my part, and so I'm going to humbly come before God. What that means is that I'm going to die to self. I'm not going to think too highly of myself. I'm not going to consider myself better or more important than I think I am. Because a lot of times we think we're all that in a bag of chips, don't we? We just think like we got it all together. Man, I'm perfect. I got the shirt on. I dressed up. I ironed this morning a couple times because I was all freaked out about those wrinkles and they've come back. But I got it all together. I can speak with great words and I can. No, I don't have it all together. But we can pretend and perpetrate that we have it all together. But God's saying you need to put all that garbage aside and you need to realize who you really are. And that an understanding that it's not about you, but it's about him. And it's about how he wants to move. And so it's dying to self. Jesus said that we're to pick up our cross daily. We're to die to self. And so in the Old Testament, God's saying, if you want something that's happened the way that your prayers have gone prior to this, Solomon, then you gotta walk in humility. And understand this, humility is intentional. It's a choice. It's a choice I make to humble myself before God, to humble myself before people, to not think that I'm above and beyond everyone around me, that I'm the greatest thing, you know, since whatever. No, it's an intentional decision to come to the realization as I examine who I am, that I'm not all that. See, we have to understand what John the Baptist said. He said this in the third chapter, the 10th verse. He said that he must increase and I must decrease. See, what he's saying is that God's presence and God's way and all that God is must increase in me and through me, and that I, how I feel, what I think, how I think things should be going on and be done, that needs to decrease, that he would increase to show and lead me to where I need to go, to do what I need to do, because it's all about doing my part. And if I'm proud and I walk in pride, I won't understand what my part is, because what I'll do is I'm like, you know what? I'm too good to. Can you hand me that water? Can you open that? I can't open that. I gotta. Thank you. I appreciate that. See how I just did that? I did that. See, because pride would say the pastor should never have to open up a bottle of water. The elder should have it set for him. That's so below him. Do you see where I'm going with this? See, but the reality is I should have walked myself off the platform, walked over there and picked that up. I didn't need to have to ask God to do it, because I'm the pastor. That doesn't mean anything. In the sense of me opening up my own water and pouring, next I'll be asking him to pour it for me because I think I'm above him. He's just a servant to me. So not true. And God's saying, listen, if you want me to begin to move in the dimension that I want to move in your life, you got to die to self. See, because I looked in the dictionary. Thank you, by the way, for that. Next time it's room temperature, we're going to let that slide this time. Next time, though, we know. Slightly above room temperature, please. Come on, it's okay. We can laugh in church. You know that. Don't make me roll on the floor to make you laugh today. And so what we need to realize is what Paul says. I need to understand it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And Christ was a servant. Christ was all about making a difference. Christ was all about doing what was necessary to do the work of the Father. And see, humility is so important because it dies to self. When you look in the dictionary, they actually have a word. I just discovered this. The word selfie is actually in the dictionary now. Did you know that? Who has a selfie stick? You don't have a selfie stick? Don't be ashamed. I have like 3 or 4 laying around the house. And I take them on vacation with me. Why? Because one, I know it aggravates my kids when we're in crowds and I pull it out. Pull them up. And then I know when I'm with people, it gets them like, are you serious? Let me tell you a story. I was going on vacation actually, and Scott and his family were with us. We're driving down the street and my wife pulls the selfie stick out of the car to get our car with us looking and them behind us. My kids were in the back seat going, really? We're like, yeah, and it's only day one of vacation. Get ready. Get ready, because it's coming. And so, see, selfie is actually a word in the dictionary. Culture around us is filled with about self. Oh, you can be self-sufficient. You're self-made, self-confident. So we even come where we're self-justifying what we do and how we do it. But the reality is to see a great move of God, that where healing and restoration, renewal and revival will take place, we have to die to pride. We have to die to self, that he would increase and that we would decrease. That's what he was saying to Solomon. He says, now after you come to the realization about dying to self, he says, what I need you to do is I need you to pray. I need you to pray. Now, we had did a series on prayer, a couple series on prayer. Prayer is the channel of communication that leads to dialogue between God and yourself. It's how you and I talk to God. It's prayer. See, in today, how we live, we text, we instant message, we Facebook one another. If you're still old school, you got a rotary in the kitchen with a 25-foot cord, and you know the numbers to call someone on the old phone. There's multiple ways of dialoguing with one another. But what the word says is that he wants us to pray. Why does he want us to pray? Because he wants to talk. He wants to communicate with us as his children. And so prayer is the avenue in which we dialogue with God Almighty. And see, it's important for us to know that when we're praying, that we come with a faith-filled heart, that we come before God believing what his word said, what his decrees have said, and what his promises have said will come to pass. See, when we pray, what we need to do is we need to call upon God for the release of more of his love, more of his grace, more of his mercy, more of whatever it is you need of who he is in that particular area in life. See, what we need to do in this country is we need to begin to call upon God to say, God, help us with the unjust of the whole racial tension in this nation. God, we call upon you to begin to intervene and do those things that are needed to bring a nation apart together instead of tearing a nation apart. God, I pray and I call upon your great love and mercy to come in and intervene in this relationship that I'm having with my wife or my husband because there's some turmoil. And so, God, the only thing I know to do is come before you and say, I can't fix it. So I come in a humble state before him. I say, only you can, God, because you're God Almighty. And so, God, I come to you and I believe that when you begin to move, there'll be reconciliation. See, we need to pray like that. We need to pinpoint our prayers. If we know there's a specific thing, then pray that specific thing. Say exactly what it is. What needs to be done? What needs to take place? God, I've been toiling. I've been working 2 and 3 jobs. God, I just can't seem to make ends meet. God, I need you to open a door of opportunity and employment that, Lord, I don't have to scrape and struggle anymore. God, I realize that I've tried to do it all on my own, and I can't go another step without you. So I humbly submit myself before you. Less of me, more of you, God. So as I speak to you and you hear me, because your word says you hear me when I speak, God, intervene. Intervene. So we need to pray. Are we praying for those things that we want to see happen? Are we praying? Prayer is more. I always say this, but it's so true. Prayer is more than just the prayer over our meal or the prayer over our bedtime. We have to set time aside to seek the face of God. And just seek him and pray, however many minutes you want to put, I told you a couple weeks ago, pull your phones out, get your calendar out, and set an appointment with God. We schedule everybody else, and I schedule manicures in and pedicures in. I schedule everything in. Yeah, I didn't catch that. Some of you are like, really? Now you got it. I schedule it all in. I schedule everything in. Well, you know what? If you're a scheduler, then you need to schedule, give God a block of time too in your day. Put it in your phone so the reminder comes up, oh, it's God time. Schedule it in. Because he says, first humble, then pray. And then he says this. He says, after you humble and you're praying, seek my face. See, what that really means when you break it down and you study out in the Old Testament or the New Testament is we're longing and looking and going after the presence of God. See, the presence of God is what consumed the temple after the dedication. It was so thick and so heavy with God's presence, they couldn't even go into the temple itself. And so to seek God's face means that we're going to go and long and yearn for his presence. We're going to desire more of his holy anointing to be a part of what we're doing around us and moving. See, and what I love about God, it says that the great promises to those who seek, there's a great promise to those who seek. The promise is that we'll find it. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 28:9 says, if you seek him, he will be found. He will be found. It's not like an Easter egg hunt where the person hides the golden egg really hard and you look and you look and you look and you look and you just can't seem to find it. It's not like going geocaching, right? It's not like going geocaching where you think you know where it is and you look all afternoon and you got the map out and you're, where is this little thing that's tucked in some stick hidden underneath a log and a rock hidden down along the, well, I can't find this. See, when you truly seek the presence of God, you will find it. Why? Because his word said you will. He promised that when you seek him, you will find him. And so he says, listen, Solomon, humble yourselves. Your people mustn't be proud. People mustn't be proud. They must pray. They must have a line of communication with me, God Almighty. And they must continually go after me. They must seek me. They must look for me, desire, crave my presence. Go after who he is. And then he says, listen, he says, Solomon, he says, those are just three things. But there's one more, Solomon. Turn from your wicked ways. This is one that no one wants to talk about. No one wants to talk about this one. It's easy to talk about prayer. It's easy to talk about even about being humble. It's easy to talk about even seeking the face of God. But when we start talking about wicked ways, we start talking about our actions or our reactions or what we do as believers or as individuals. And now that becomes a touchy subject. Right? It's like no one wants to talk. In church, no one wants to talk about sin, and no one wants to talk about money. Yet outside of church, we talk about sin all the time. We talk about money and how great it is. But those two things in church, we don't want to talk about. But the reality, God even here in this book of Second Chronicles chapter 7, he says, you humble yourselves, you pray, you seek me. And then he says, now it's going to get sticky and touchy because you got to turn and stop doing those things that are against who I am and what I stand for. See, because those things just might be the things that are holding God's movement or God moving in full capacity into those areas that we're crying out for. And so he says, turn from your wicked ways. What that really means is that we stop, we realize what's... Can I ask you something? If you're doing something wrong, do you need someone to tell you you're doing something wrong? As adults, right? Do you know right from wrong? Right? You pretty much, you're all adults and young adults in the house today. You know if it's right or if it's wrong. So really what it is in that humble state, realizing where you're at, it's like, okay, I'm walking along in the path of life doing this. I know who God is because I'm in prayer and in dialogue with him and I'm seeking his face. And so he's revealing himself in a new dimension. So I'm about to do this or I'm about to do that, and I realize then that might not be the greatest choice or decision to do. And so you know what? That isn't or that doesn't line up with the standard of God or the character of God or who God's called me to be. So you know what? That's not right. And so what he says is when we get to that point, he says we need to turn from that. In other words, we need to stop doing it and we need to turn and go back the opposite direction. Now, I remember, you know, when I first was going into ministry and I felt called to ministry, I struggled with right and wrong. Not that, like, I was some crazy person doing bad and evil things. It's just that I wanted to try to separate myself from you know, certain things. And so in the very beginning you would try to justify how it really wasn't that wrong. It's really not that bad, is it? And so we would try to justify it. But we have to come to the honest point and say, you know what, that just isn't who God is. That's not part of God's character. And so I shouldn't be engaged in this. I shouldn't be a part of it. And so what he says, turn from it. In other words, repent. God, forgive me for allowing this to control me, to be a part of my life, to whatever it may be. And God, help me as I turn back to you and walk towards you and embrace all that you have for me. And the more that we seek and the more that God's presence consumes us, the easier it is to turn from those things that are wicked or those things that are bad, those things which we would call sin. And so he says, Solomon, if you humble yourself, if you pray, if you seek my face, and if you turn from those things which you know are wrong, according to my statutes, according to my law, according to my standard, according to my character, he says this, and I'm going to wrap this up. He says, I'm going to hear everything that you're saying and asking. How exciting is that? How exciting is that? Wouldn't that be great if every time we talk to our children, they heard us the first time? Right? Right? Wives, wouldn't it be great if every time you talk to your husband, they heard you the first time? Right? Wouldn't that be great? Well, so what God says, he's like, because you've done these four things, you've done your part. Because you fulfilled the requirements or what I've asked you to do, he says, I'm going to move. He says, I hear you. I really hear you with great clarity, and I understand your situation. I knew it all along because I know everything. I'm all knowing. I'm all powerful. I'm in every place. I know all that. He says, but I'm going to hear you with clarity because in the midst of you praying, in the midst of you humbling, in the midst of you seeking, your relationship with me has gotten much closer. It went from here to here, and as you continue to grow in him, it gets closer and closer. And so there's just that connection that happens. And those walls that may have separated that hearing, that moving, that fullness of relationship that we crave for, they've been torn down because we've set ourselves apart for him and him alone. There's no war between this and that. It's me and God. And what happens is we begin to get the first signs of the three R's, the revival. Revival, I wrote here, defined as an improvement in the condition of. Don't we want God's presence to come to bring revival, to improve the conditions of whatever it may be? See, this is at the beginning stages. We walk through these steps. And then the renewal, a fresh start, a strength to reestablish something that we may have thought was dead. Yet God says, it's not dead. Let me resurrect that, as well as restoration, the process of repairing and renovating that which needs renovation. See, he hears us. Then he says, not only will I hear you, I'll forgive you. In other words, I'll pardon you from past mistakes. I'll wash the slate clean. I'm not upset at the offense. I'm not upset with the flaw or the mistake. But because I hear you, because you've prayed, because you've humbled yourself, because you've sought me, and because you've turned from your wicked ways, I forgive you, and I bring you, and I embrace you, and I begin to really release more of my favor, more of my presence, more of my peace, more of my truth into your lives. And then the last part, he says, if you do those four things, the third part is, he says, I'll heal, I'll restore. The refreshing of his Holy Spirit not only brings the spiritual awakening, but it will bring a restoration to those areas that need healing and wholeness. And so we walk around life, we go through everyday living, our job, our family, our community, and we look around. And whether it's a part of who we are or things around us, and we think things that are good and bad, and we may have the tendency to say, you know what, that would be better if they would do that. That would be better if he or she did this. That would not be broken, and that would not, when all reality, as God's saying, if you as my child would humble yourself. See, when I look at somebody, let's think about this. When I'm looking at a situation saying, well, they're doing that wrong, they're this, what I'm saying is I'm better. Oh, I could do that better. I got this. See, but what God's saying is let's humble ourselves before God. Let's pray. Let's truly seek him together as a church, individually, corporately. Let's turn and stop doing those things that don't bring joy and happiness and a good witness to him. Because when we do, he hears, he forgives, and he restores. Let's stand to our feet, because I need to pray with you this morning. I need to pray with you this morning. So, let me ask you this question. Don't raise your hand, though. How many of you need some restoring in areas in your life? How many of you need some restoration in areas of your life? How many of you need renewal? Do you know why? Do you know why? Some people, don't get offended. I've got to preface it. Don't be offended. Do you know why some of the conditions that we live in are the way they are? Do I know why? Because we don't pray. Because we refuse to be humble. Because we refuse to seek God. We seek everything else but God. We seek our best friends. We seek social media. We seek books. We seek something on the internet, because if we Google it, of course it's real. We seek Wikipedia, because everything on Wikipedia is truth, right? And we're not turning from those things which God despises. And so if we're not praying, if we're not seeking, if we're not humbling ourselves, and if we're not turning, nothing's going to change. We had Pastor Dennis in last week, and during the one service I was praying and I was worshiping, and I'm like, God, you know, I began to really just lay my heart out with God, and you know, this and why that, and ask some questions and stuff. And I really sensed what God said to me. He says, because you're not doing, and he gave me a list of things. I was like, oh man, you know what I did? Ran over to my bag, pulled out my journal, got the pen out, and wrote as fast as I could. What was that again? What was it? Why? Because I don't want to keep asking why. I want results. I want to know what I need to do to see my family's life change, my friends, my church change, my community change. I want to know what I need to do that Solomon experienced, where the presence of God consumed the temple and consumed the area where every life was touched that afternoon. And so the reason things aren't happening is because as the church, individually and corporately, we're not doing what we need to do as believers. And so let me encourage you this morning. Leave here today. Schedule some appointments with God this week. And in that time of scheduling, humble yourself before him. Remove self. Seek him in prayer. Seek his presence. And begin to remove those things that don't bring glory to who he is. That doesn't mean you're not going to have fun in life. That's not what I'm talking about. But if we start there, watch what'll happen. It's a principle. It's right in the Word. It's not something I made up. So let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, in this house, as we prepare to depart, Lord, there are many people who struggle with one of those aspects, one of those steps. Lord, whether it's prayer, whether it's humility, whether it's seeking your presence, whether it's turning from the wicked ways and removing those things that don't bring you glory. Father, they struggle. They feel like they can't go through it. They can't have it removed. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that today you would begin to remove the burden and the struggle that they have to spend time in prayer, to understand the importance of humility and dying to self. I pray, Lord, that you would help them and you would begin to remove any shackle, any chain, anything that would be holding them back. Father, I pray that as they seek your face, there would be a true encounter in meeting with you, Lord. Lord, you declared to Solomon, if my people humble themselves, pray, seek your face, turn from their wicked ways, then you hear and you move. That same declaration you speak to all of your children, even in 2019. So God, we surrender ourselves to you, and we say, help us to be people that are humble. Help us to be people that would become prayer warriors. Help us, Lord, to be people who would seek your face in every situation and every circumstance. Help us, Lord, to remove those things that would bring and build walls of separation. Help us to remove those things. Help us to turn and turn back to you completely and fully. And Lord, thank you for what your promise says you will do, that you will move, you will heal, you will restore, revival, renewal, and restoration comes. So Father, I pray that blessing upon these people this day. We love you and we glorify you, God. We give you all the honor and glory. In your name I pray, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Amen. So here's what I want to do.